Hey, this is the Charlie Paparelli Show, and I am Charlie Paparelli. Welcome. This is a show for entrepreneurs, and we help entrepreneurs start companies and build even bigger companies of great value. And we do that by interviewing other entrepreneurs. Today, I've got something unique. We're going to be, it's part of what I call the how-to series. And today we're going to be talking to an expert. I think he's an expert anyway, in friendship. So how to really keep and grow friends. That's what it's about, very simply. And my guest, so not to miss an episode, I ask you to subscribe at paparelli.com. And all you have to do is give me your email and you'll get my blog on Tuesday and you'll be alerted as to when these shows start and when they're published. So my guest today is Jacob Sutherland. Jacob is the director of sales at BG Podcast Network. He is in the midst of his sales career development. He's a young man, a few years out of college, and he's doing really, really well and excelling in sales. He is also my youngest son, Nick. He's Nick's best friend. And I always admire Jacob. I've known Jacob for more than half of his life. I've known him for 15 years. And during that time, he's one of those guys that everybody is his friend and everybody calls him friend. You know, I recently had dinner with Jacob and Nick, and he brought up this comment to me, which we're going to explore a little bit about, you know, Nick's one of those call them every day for 3 minutes a day type friends. And we started exploring that, actually turned into a blog, which I published on paparelli.com. You should take a look at it. Today, we're going to talk about how to make, grow, and keep friends. That's what we're about. So welcome, Jacob, and thanks for sharing this with me and with my audience.
Well, Mr. Paparelli, thank you for having me on today. I've watched a ton of your content, obviously read the blog you did on our conversation at dinner the other night. I'm excited to be here and share what I do know about friendship and, you know, kind of carrying on that conversation with one another. Fair enough? Yeah.
No, it's going to be a lot of fun. Well, why don't you do this? We'll start this out by tell us a little bit about, you know, BG Podcast Network so people know what you're doing now.
Absolutely. BG Podcast Network came to fruition realistically about 2 years ago, Mr. Paparelli. BG had dabbled in podcasting. There's always been a love for audio in my family. Darren was an old radio guy. And about two years ago, Darren, my father's an old radio guy. About 2 years ago, he called me. I'm at Wells Fargo Corporate up in Charlotte, North Carolina. And he says, why don't you take a leap of faith, read this book first, Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki, and take a leap of faith with me. I've got this idea in podcasting, and I think you'd be very good at it. So here we are 2 years later, Mr. Paparelli. We do content creation. We help monetize podcasts. Really, we do everything from top to bottom. I call it a full service podcast agency, right?
So who's your market?
Really, brands and entities all over. We found some very peculiar niches, per se. Our top clients, we do recruiting podcasts for schools and universities, and we do local news podcasts for newspapers and magazines in town.
Okay. Yeah, and you actually produce, I mean, your BG Podcast Network produces the podcast. So you're giving them a podcast, you're creating the podcast, And your job is really to generate the revenue by selling advertising for the podcast, right?
Bingo. It's actually twofold on the revenue generation piece. So on the brand side or entity side more so, I come in and I tell your story, right? You obviously tell me what you want to talk about, but I come in and tell your story in a clean, listener-friendly, engaging podcast format. On the flip side, you know, those brands, I'll say they pay for all that content. On the flip side, with the newspapers, magazines, et cetera, you're exactly right. We sell ads in those podcasts to help them monetize that content. alleviate some of the cost burden of doing a podcast every single day for a local newspaper, right?
Yeah. How many newspapers you got now?
Right now, we've got 5 local newspapers in the Metro Atlanta market. Okay. Really trying to hone in and own that metro market before we expand elsewhere, yeah. Before we jump.
It's a brand new business and a new concept. I remember when your dad told me about it, I thought it was pretty cool. And, you know, so where can they go? Where can people go to learn about this?
Great question. So you can always go to bgpodcastnetwork.com. Okay. That's our direct website. You can also go on any one of our partners' websites. They host their podcast right there on their website. So our biggest per se, maybe Gwinnett Daily Post or Marietta Daily Journal, okay. They host that podcast right there on the front page of their website.
And is there a university or college that somebody might go to kind of also hear what you're doing for them?
Absolutely. 98.7 Chat Tech, kind of a play on words there, an old radio term. But here's the fun part about it. Chattahoochee Technical College, the largest technical college system in the state of Georgia. We're producing 50 episodes for them, and you can find them right there on their website. The 98.7 Chat Tech play on words is built off of 98% of students succeed when they go to Chat Tech to obtain a degree.
Oh,
right?
Man, that's a great title. I like that.
Well, hey, you know, we still have to put on our marketing hat at times and get creative. So, you know,
if you've got any of your dad in you, man, you're going to be creative. That guy can. He is one of the most creative people I know.
Well, that's the reason I'm working with him, Charlie. And I think, you know, family business can be tough at times, right? But it can also be very fulfilling. So, yeah. You know, we're blazing our own path every single day and really excited about where the future's going.
Sounds like fun. Well, let's go back to that conversation we had over dinner, just to kind of get people back to this blog that I wrote. You know, you made this, if I remember it right, you made that comment. You said, you know, Nick here, he's one of those everyday friends. You got to call him every day for like 3 minutes, you know? And so yep. tell that story a little bit. Why don't you kind of go back to that? Let's start that conversation from there, because that's what got me so interested in having you on this podcast. I mean, on this video cast.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I think it's no secret. You said it in your intro. Nick's been my best friend since we were maybe 15 years old. So we're going on 13 years now, Charlie. Yeah. You know, it's funny observing the way folks communicate together. You, when you talk to Nick or when you talk to David, right, as opposed to the way that I communicate with my father, right? Each of them have their own different intricacies. One may be for a minute or two. Like my dad's a call 10 times a day for 30 seconds at a time just when something hits him on the head, right? So we got to talking about this over dinner one afternoon, and I brought it up. Charlie, your kids are very different. And I know them both. David, obviously less than Nick, but
David is Nick's older brother, for those in the audience never heard. Go ahead.
Bingo. But, you know, your kids are very different in a sense, right? When you talk to David, David's one of these, hey, let's solve the world's problems today. We're on this conversation and I'm giving you everything. David's fully honed in for, you know, sometimes 45 minutes on a phone call, mm-hmm. just catching up, talking about life, talking yeah. about work, talking about his experiences over in Europe, et cetera, right? Whereas Nick, on the other hand, at least through my my expertise per se, Nick's more so just quick hitter. Hey, here's what's going on today. Here's my updates. A lot of times, you know, it may not be as much substance, but you can have 20 conversations. You'll still get the same outcome as you would with that one long, drawn-out conversation with David. It doesn't mean one's right or one's wrong, right? It's just their method of communication.
Well, what happens in a situation if you're one of these guys? See, the friendships are two ways, right? They mm-hmm. go both ways. So Nick, on one hand, as you said, he wants you to call him. He feels like you're a close friend of him to you. Okay. If you call him every day, at least once for that 3 minutes, hey, what's going up? What's happening with the Braves? You got a lot of sales calls today, you know, it's going to whatever. Right. and here's what happened to me, blah, blah, blah. And then you say, hey, have a good day. That's a good contact for Nick. Okay. Well, what if it's not a good contact for the other guy? You know, what if you say, look, I'm, you know, Nick says, is Nick going to call you up and say, hey, man, you didn't call me for 3 days. Am I not your best friend anymore? And you're like, no, no, I just been tied up. You follow me? I mean, we're still best friends. I got to call you every day.
That's a great question. I think a lot of it, you have to meet that person where they are, right? And it's an effort piece. It really is. You know, there's times where my to-do list may be 15, 20 items long.
Right.
It's not that my friends are on my to-do list, right? But I just know, man, I got to call and catch up with Nick today. Let him know about this big sale. Ask him how his big sale's going, right? And then move on. But on the other end of that piece, I have friends that don't make that daily contact list, right? And it's not that, you know, I value them as lesser
friends.
Wait
a second. So does this mean that Nick is more top of mind for you than would be some of your other friends?
I would argue no. I would argue that Nick prefers that day-to-day contact.
Whereas so does that make him top of mind for you then? Like, it's almost a responsibility. It's sort of a pressure that, oh, God, I got to call him.
Never been pressured to call Nick in my life, right? It's more so, here's what's going on today. How's your day going, right? How's your day, bud?
So is he a closer friend than the other friend that you might call once a week or once every 2 weeks?
That's just their contact cadence, right? That's what they like. So I sent your blog to a friend up in North Carolina, a friend I value dearly, right? Yeah. I talk to the guy once a month, if that, on the phone. It's not that we're not, you know, great friends. If I go back to college, I would consider him, you know, I'm one of my top friends in college. Okay. It's just where we are. He's much more of a texter. We may keep up through an Instagram thread that he shares with me, but we only pick up the phone and talk to each other once every 30 days max.
Who calls? Well,
this friend's
texter. Does he call you or do you have to call him or that 30 days will run by?
It's about 50-50, just to be quite frank. Now, I'm much more the caller. I am much more the caller. You know, I think I'm old school in a sense. I love the one-on-one interaction. But in most cases, it's 50-50. If it's something big coming up, he'll give me a call. And on my end, if we're going past that 30, 60-day mark, I've got to call Ryan. I've got to pick
one
up
of
the
your,
phone.
Do you think one of your people consider you a friend more than they consider other people friends in their lives? Okay. Because you go beyond the social media stuff. See, a lot of these people that I know now, they think they're friends because they're on social media and they read, oh yeah, Jacob made a big sale last week. You know, it was the biggest sale in BG's history, you know, isn't that great? He doesn't call you. He just knows it. So he might put a like on it or a little heart, right? You know, on Instagram. Right. You know, but what Jacob does differently is he might do some of that. I don't know how we'll get into your social media, but you actually would make calls. Like if your buddy up there in North Carolina closed a big sale, I know he's not in sales, but if he did had a big event, you saw it on Instagram, you'd call him, wouldn't you?
You're absolutely right. I joke a lot of times, and I say social media for myself is a necessary evil. It's the time and place that I was brought into this world, right? And to be cool or to look like, you know, to have it going on, right? You've got to have your LinkedIn. You've got to have your Facebook with 2,000 friends. I'm not calling 2,000 people, Charlie. I'm not going to do it, right? It's more so a necessary evil for me to keep myself out there. When it comes to friendship, there's nothing better than one-on-one. Exactly okay, what
so
we're doing
how,
right
you
now.
Say you have 2,000 friends on Facebook.
Sure.
Do you?
So somewhere around there.
Okay, great. 2,000 friends on Facebook. Great. I'm with you. All right. You read something about some person you have not been in touch with for a while, some event in their life. And how do you then choose this is a person I'll call versus this is a person I'll just, you know, put a like on. You follow me on the event. You know, when
sure.
What's your criteria for when to call and when just to sort of give them a like or a thumbs up or whatever the things. I don't use social media like that. Okay. So I don't know.
No, I get it. I get it. If you're within arm's length of me, if I've got your phone number and it is one of these life events per se, I'm calling you. It's just the type of person I am and have always been. You know, maybe going back to some of my old sales gigs where I cold call 100 people a day, right? I'm comfortable using a phone and interacting that way. The likes, the loves, you know, retweets, whatever it may be, they don't do much for me. If I put a post out there, or think birthdays on Facebook, you have 85 people reach out and say happy birthday. Are they doing that because they got a notification that morning that says it's Jacob Sutherland's birthday? Or are they doing that because they're your friend, right? And I think that's a valuable
question.
Well,
I'm your friend. I don't remember your birthday, but I saw it there, so I put a like. I said, happy birthday.
Sure. But when you need something from me, Charlie, what do?
I'm going to call you.
You pick up the phone and call me, right?
Yeah.
And so to me, it's the same way.
How do you avoid this? So you're a big guy. You call friends.
Uh-huh,
right. Uh-huh. Some of it is within a normal cadence. These are the guys that I would think are closer to you. And uh-huh. then those that are a little further out, another ring out of you. Well, they call them in a much less cadence, or maybe no cadence at all. It's just as they kind of come to mind.
Sure.
Do you ever get to the point where you say, oh, man, if I call, you know, when I call Nick, I know it's going to be 3 minutes.
Uh-huh.
When I call Charlie, I mean, that guy, he can talk, you know. He's going to burn like 45 minutes to an hour. I don't have 45 minutes to an hour, so you know what? I'm not going to call him. Do you ever do that?
I would say no. Any one of my friends, and I'm the same way on my end, it's a mutual respect, right? At this point, we have careers, whether you're building a business, you know, working for a major corporation. We have these obligations in life that, hey, we've got to pay our bills. So if I call you, Charlie, and I get into a 30-minute long drag out conversation and you hit me with, hey, buddy, I've got to go. I've got to take care of X, Y, and Z. Yeah. It's not that he didn't want to talk to me or he didn't have time for me that day, right? It's just there was something more pressing that laid in his lap that day, right? So to answer your question, no, not whatsoever. There's never a point where
So you never really feel like you'll ever get trapped. That's part of the friendship. You might call me up and say, hey, I know you like to talk, but, you know, I'm really busy today. But I just wanted to call and tell you happy birthday. You know, I'm glad things are going well for you, you know?
Bingo. It's a mutual respect on both ends. And especially if you've nourished that friendship, right? You know that I have obligations. I know that you have obligations. We may not be able to give each other an hour today, although that's the type of communicator you seem to be, Charlie. I got 5 minutes for you. Wanted to call you and tell you I love you. Happy birthday and have a blessed day, right?
Okay.
And I believe a good friendship can respect that about one another. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense, yeah. And I think that the other thing that you're saying, though, is it's interesting is that you know, you're dealing with your friend group, you're all in the same position. I mean, you've got 8 hours of call time in a sales position, right? You can't blow that, all right? That's just really rich time. That's where you make your money. And so if somebody calls into you, a friend calls to you, and he wants to get into some long, drawn-out thing, you know, unless it's an emergency, you're going to sit there and go, look, man, I've got like 20 more calls I got to make, all right? And I've got 3 clients that are waiting for me. I got 4 more appointments. I got to get through this. But here's the other side, though, is that's not true when it's your mom. In other words, she's not under the same pressures, or your grandmother, you know, or I don't know, some teacher that might have called you, you know, that, you know, some former teacher that you're in. From college, who it's the summertime and he just wanted to catch up and it's 11 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday. All right.
Right.
You know, so now you got to think, oh, I got the voicemail. Am I going to call this dude back?
Uh-huh.
Because he doesn't have that same sensitivity that your buddies have.
Sure.
So how do you deal with that? Do you ever put those calls off?
You know, I think that's a great question. That's a case by case basis. If
it
that's
is, that's what I'm talking about.
Right. You know, mama supersedes everyone. Okay. If mama's got something pressing, it is what it is. You know, you've got to get mama taken care of, or grandmother in that sense. But perfect example last night, or not even last night. I'll take you back 2 days here. Okay. Got a tight end that I played with up at Lenoir Ryan. Great friend while I was there. And I don't want to put it while I was there because we're still dear friends today, but the contact cadence isn't near as up to date per se. Maybe every 3 to 6 months. Okay.
Yeah.
Ed calls me 2 days ago. I'm sitting at work. I know Ed's a talker. Didn't have much time for him. So I called him immediately at 5:15 when I got out of here that afternoon. Ed had something going on. He calls me back the next day about the same time. I'm sitting there during sales calls, right? And I know Ed's a talker. I call him 5:15 the very next day. He calls me last night and we have a hour-long conversation. We never skipped a beat. So on his end, there was no sense of, man, Jacob declined my call twice. On my end, there was no sense of, man, Ed keeps calling me during work.
All right, we're both the other side. But then you got Ed. So now you know Ed's a talker, right? So
absolutely.
So he called you after the 2:15 missed calls. He called you that night, right?
Exactly.
Whatever night yes, that sir. Was. Well, you see, you look on your phone and it's Ed, right? Mm-hmm. Caller ID, Ed, whatever his name is. And you sure. Did you have a thought like, you know, I'm in the middle of doing this, or I'm talking to whomever, or I'm playing my video game, or I'm watching this show. Or I'm tired. I don't want to talk for an hour and 15 minutes. And I know it's going to be that. And you just say, boom, send a voicemail. Do you ever do that?
I can't say that I do, Charlie. And it's not, something. You know, it's not that I don't want to talk.
I guess I'm sharing all my bad habits with you, okay? And you're telling me, you know what, man? They are bad habits. You shouldn't treat people that way.
No, not whatsoever. You know, I think there's a time and place for everything, right? You know, going back to when we were – it was 2 o'clock and he was calling me, or it was 5:15. I don't know his schedule and I was calling him, right? Yeah. But we both knew that the conversation needed to take place. There was some effort on his end, some effort on my end, and we had to meet somewhere in the middle. So, yeah, I was doing something last night. Was cooking dinner, had somebody else in the kitchen. That we had four hands on the dish, right? And I just looked at her and I said, listen, I've got to take this call, you know, and I can still help with X, Y, and Z. But, you know, we both put forward this effort the last week or so. I need to connect with this guy.
That's great.
And it all goes back to, you know, we can be friends and not talk for a year. But if you're my friend and we both value that friendship, you reach out to me, I owe it to you to call you back. I owe it to you to answer that call. I don't consider, oh, this is Nick and it's a 3-minute call, or it's, hey, man, this is Ed and this is an hour long call. It's my friend at the end of the day, right?
So that what you're saying, though, is that friends to you, and the reason that you have so many friends is friends to you, your value system, friends are a high priority.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think
you have people that you've tried to be friends with that don't carry it as such a high priority.
It's a good question. I'd say yes. You know, it takes more effort on your end, right? Most of the time when you pour into somebody, they're typically very appreciative, right? They want to reciprocate. Whether that be their form of text, their Instagram thread, as we kind of hit on earlier, or they pick up the phone and call you back. I don't value them as less of friends or hey, that guy's not my friend. I'm not going to call him anymore because he just liked my status and didn't pick up the phone. But yeah, in some cases, there are guys. I'll take you back to your blog, okay? You remember your blog that you wrote about our conversation?
I remember, yeah.
You had a friend, right, that you knew, man, this may be an hour phone call and I can get back to him later down the road. Sometimes you just got to pour into those people because people are going to help you out in life no matter where you are, no matter what industry yeah. you're in. People like to help people. And, you know, when you give somebody all of you, hey, this is who I am. These are my interests.
Do you make those calls? Do you call those people back? out of pure friendship, or do you call them back thinking, who knows, one day I might need this guy, so therefore I need to maintain it? It's really just friendship, isn't it?
It's never for leverage. It's never to cross off an item on my to-do list. It's absolutely 100%. This is my friend, and it's owed to him. I don't know what the other end of that conversation is going to look like. It could be an hour. It could be 30 minutes. But it's my friend, and I owe it to him, right?
How about this? How about these guys that you call that are your friends? Because you're the stay-in-touch guy, okay?
I am.
Of all your friends, you're probably the most stay-in-touch guy. By phone, I'm talking about, right?
You're absolutely right.
I mean, you got some crazy people that are, you know, sort of social media ninja people, okay? But generally speaking, that's not you. You're the stay-in-touch guy by phone. Yep. So you call me, and I'm thinking, I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to deal with Jacob. You know, I don't want to have whatever, even a three-minute conversation, right? Because I'm doing something else. You know, if you call me a few times and I get back to you in 2 days – or I get back to you the next week. How does that affect you as far as your call cadence to me?
Yeah, it may lag a bit, but I don't value you any differently per se. You know, it's, we're all busy. The world's busy. Every minute of the day, we've got this sticking in our face.
But damn, forget the busy stuff. I mean, there's the other side, just relational stuff that says you value the friendship. Mm-hmm. Okay. The contact and the friendship more than I do. Okay. I mean, I have my own Nick. Mm-hmm. I don't need Jacob to be my next Nick.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
So Jacob is calling like, and in my book, he calls a lot. I mean, this guy calls me like once a week. I don't talk to my mother, but once a month. Okay.
Sure.
You know, what is going on with this guy? You know, I have other friends. I'm not even in the same city with them. I'll call them back next week or whatever. Do you ever get the message?
You know, maybe that's where I'm ignorant on this subject, Charlie, because no, you know, I'll say no. When it comes to conversating, when it comes to connecting, talking one-on-one is the purest form of it, right? And whether it's 3 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, if I can get you one-on-one, I can get, you know, I can kind of peel back that onion a bit. I can get your perspective without having the outside noise, without being on the Twitter thread where there's 100,000 other comments, right? I can get Charlie. So no, I may call you four times. You never call me back. Guess what? I'm going to call a fifth time. Is that fair?
That is really good. So let me ask, what really makes a friend? What makes, you can't, like you said, I don't call 2,000 people on my Facebook feed, Bingo. Right? So how do you look at those 2,000 people, how do you get to, what do you consider a friend? I mean, how do you define that? You follow me?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. You know, friendship's a two-way street. Friendship's a two-way street. I think anybody I consider a friend and or a close friend, I give them a bit, they give me something. They make me better at something, I make them better at something. Maybe shared interests, common likes, sure, that goes along with any relationship, right? But typically a friend to me is someone that's pushing me to be better. Now, I'll take you back once again, 13 years ago when I met Nick. Our one common interest at the time was sports, and we were both heavy in sports, right? Nick made me better. Nick made me better at sports because he pushed me to work harder during practice, right? He pushed me to go home and watch film. I used to come to your house on Saturday mornings, and Nick would make me watch film and learn plays. I was, for all intents and purposes, a potential college athlete, but I didn't know the playbook, Charlie. And Nick would sit there and school me every single day. Hey, here's what you got to do. Here's what you got to do. Well, that transformed years later, right? We both realized, man, we both love the Braves, you know? We both love similar music.
Yeah.
But that all started with that two-way street, that common interest. I poured in a little bit to him, and he poured in a little bit to me. So to take you back, I guess, to our last question, you know, how do we whittle down from the 2,000 to maybe the 50 friends that are on the call list, right? It's those common interests, those shared interests, and those who do also, you know, kind of meet you somewhere along that path. It doesn't have to be they call me back every time I call them, right? I may call them four or five different times, but at some point, you're right, they do have to reciprocate and kind of pour into myself. So that's how that list gets whittled down.
I'll summarize all that you said there, and I think that was really insightful. But it was that a friend is someone who I care about, and they care about me. I mean, that's soft language. The other thing is they invest in me, and I invest in them. Right? You're authentic when you say, "Hey, how you doing today?" You really mean it. You want to know how they're doing today versus somebody that passes you on the street and says, "Hey, how are you?" And you're like, "What do you care? You don't even know me."
There you go. There you have it.
So is that true? Is that what it comes down to? That people, that they care enough about you that to be authentic about wanting to know where you are and what's going on, that kind of thing, right?
Absolutely. But, you know, that's not something that just happens day one. You know, a lot of times you have to nourish that. You know, the first time you met me, Mr. Paparelli, I mean, sure, you cared about my well-being, but you didn't necessarily care, you know, what's Jacob's next plan? What's next for Jacob? Or how are his grades doing, right? But over time, once you've done something for someone, they do something for you, whether it be that communication piece, whether it be, you know, Nick making me watch film, you do begin to care about the outcome.
They showed that they cared about you.
Bingo.
That's what it comes to. If they care about you, then it's really up to you to reciprocate. And you just say, you know, he cares about me, but I don't care about him. Or I do care about him and we're going to be friends.
Sure.
So how do you then, you bring up something that's good, which is to say, how do you then nourish your friendship? Because you're one of these guys, you remind me of my dad. He could walk into a bar and he'd be friends with everybody within an hour, okay? Know everybody. And you're that guy. I mean, you know everybody. And everybody knows Jacob. And they all know a story about Jacob. And it's right. Like, man, you've been here for 20 minutes. There's 30 people here. How did that happen? Okay?
Right.
So you meet all these people. They look at you like, oh, I know him. Yeah, he's my friend. How do you then, you know, from that, from all of those contacts, those initial how do you get to nourishing it, nourishing a friendship?
It's a great question. You know, nourishing a friendship to me, there's acquaintances, Charlie. I don't want to tell you everybody that you see are my friends, right? a friend is a bit more than the guy that I met at the bar last night that says, man, Jacob's, you know, good time, Charlie, and we had a good time last night, right? A friend to me, once again, is that person that's going to pour into me. It may not be every day, you know, it may not be they're going to give me the whole world, but they're going to help me excel somewhere, right? They're going to give me a little something that.
Then who pours first to make it to start to nourish the friendship?
I think I'm always that guy.
Because you keep talking about they pour into you, but you're the guy that's put yourself at risk by pouring into them first.
Right, and you'll see some reciprocation on their end, and at that point, that's when you know, man. You know, this is a good guy. There's genuine interest on both ends. And hey, you know, maybe he should work his way into my friend list, my call list, right? But you want to find someone that's genuine, someone that cares about you and cares about where you're going. And to me, that's what makes a friend.
What about do you have? Well, I'll ask you the question first about you. Okay. And that is, because this is something that is a difficulty for me, and that is, I'll be quick. If you called me and say, hey, could you help me with this? I'm all over it, right? I'll be glad to. I always say Nick is that kind of friend. Nick is the guy you could call at 3 a.m. from Panama City and tell him you need help. And he's not going to get mad at you. He's just going to say, send me the address. I'll be there.
He's exactly that guy.
He's got that level of loyalty to his friends. I've always admired that about him, you know? You know, almost to the point where it feels like sometimes I look at it and I say, do you realize they're like using you? Okay. It seems that way. And he goes, they're my friends, Dad. They're my friends. So he has that level of loyalty. But I wonder with myself sometimes I look at me and I say, I'm willing to help, but am I willing to be helped? Am I willing to be vulnerable enough to need help?
Sure.
Okay, which makes for a tough friendship. I mean, I'll help you. And then when I'm helping you, you say, man, if you ever need me, you just give me a call or whatever. Well, I never call. So I'm pouring into you, but I don't let you pour into me. Okay? How does that is that a friendship or will it ever work?
You know, that's a great question. And once again, I go back to that. It's a two-way street, Charlie.
Yeah.
Maybe someone that pours into me but doesn't expect anything on my end, maybe they fall more under a mentor level, okay? Less than a
peer, though. What if they're a peer? Forget it be Charlie Paparelli, which is Nick's dad. But what if they're a peer? What if it's like they're helping you, but they don't ever seem to need anything from you? So there's no way that you could – even if you say to them, hey, look, you know, I see you're doing such and such, and I could help you with – No. I got it. I don't need your help, okay?
Sure. I would say the time will come. We all need help in this life, right? We all need help in this life. And it may be to the point where they haven't noticed that Jacob can help them at that point in time. But sooner or later along the line, I think that that call will be made. And whether it be a, you know, something simple or this, hey, I've helped you with all this. Can you help me now? And that's, you know, that at that point would be making it a two-way street.
You don't give up on people who you can't pour in, who won't allow you to pour into them. They'll still be friends.
I'm still going to call them. I'm still going to have my conversations with them, right? I still may request something from them. And you know what? At the end of the day, if we've done this for 4 years and you've never asked me for help, the time will come. The day will come.
And that will prove out, and that will actually, when that day comes, that'll actually bring the friendship to a new higher level.
I would agree with that.
Because now you're helping each other.
Now I've reciprocated. After all the things that I've asked you to do over the last 4 years, I can now prove my value to you. Is that fair to say?
Well, I think it's fair to say that when somebody like myself, if I'm sitting here and I don't allow people to help me, when someone does, when it does get to the point, like you say, and you do get to that point, everybody needs help in life sometime, right?
Right.
And when that help shows up from a friend to somebody that doesn't allow themselves to be helped, when it does come in and the timing's just right, I don't think I feel closer to somebody than that moment. When I finally break down and let it in.
Sure.
You know?
It's a good way to put it. So you're telling me those friends that don't call me back, those friends that, you know, it may be 2 months before we speak, they feel that much greater when we do get to that end result, whether it be me helping you or we got off that 30-minute long conversation of catching up.
It does, yeah. So what now you, it's one thing, it's so, you know, I'm quite a bit older than you, okay?
And
one of the things that you do is when you're little kids, you go into grammar school there, you know, elementary school and middle school, you know, you kind of get, you make fast friends. In fact, when you're in elementary school, it's easier to make friends than it is in middle school because people get cliquey. Right? In middle school.
Yep.
Then you get into high school, and now people get competitive on top of clicky. Okay? But still, it's you're there every day, and you're with each other, and you're all fighting the same fight, you know, whether it be you're on the football team, or you're in the math class, or you're whatever it is, right?
Sure.
So you wind up through through elementary school, middle school, high school, it gets more difficult to make friends. College, you showed up. You happen to be on a football team.
Right.
Some nerdy guy showed up to college. He didn't have any friends. You know, I mean, that's how Facebook started. I don't know if you know that, but Zuckerberg was a freshman at Harvard. Did you know this story?
Right. Yeah. Very little friends and kind of built it alongside a few other what you would claim nerdy guys. Is that accurate?
Yeah. What they did is they wanted to meet girls. Well, they didn't know how to talk to anybody. So they put together this little network for the freshman class, this program for the freshman class of Harvard, and all the freshman class at Harvard started to catch on. They all wanted to be part of it so that they knew, because they all had the same problem. They were all nerds and they didn't talk to each other, right? And so that's when the thing took off as a freshman. Then the sophomore said, well, what about our class? Can't we use that same system for our – and then it kind of went from there. But so what I'm saying is that you made it – after you got out of high school, because you went to college and played football, you had your – again, it's a very tight, clicky group, the football team. It's a clicky group. But if I just walked there and I'm just like was the smartest kid in math at whatever high school, Roswell High School, and now I'm going to your college, I mean, how do I meet people, right? It's harder. And then when you leave college, it's even harder.
I won't disagree so with that
So what's going on now with you? I give this whole background. I didn't mean to go so deep into it. But what's going on now with you as a professional salesman? Okay. Living now, you live in, you know, I know you and Nick are sharing an apartment at the Battery, your Braves fans and all that. How do you meet friends after college? How do you meet friends as a growing and developing professional like you and Nick are in sales?
That seems like such a tough question to answer when we do it so easily. Okay. And you know, I don't mean that, you know, I'm not showing my pride here per se, right? But that initial contact, that initial interaction, folks can feel, like you said earlier, how's your day going? Something that simple.
Yeah.
You know when someone's genuine and when they're just pressing the elevator button, they're passing 30 seconds to get you off your door, right? To me, that's felt. Hey, I like that guy, man. We perfect example. We sat out grilling one day. You were there. We met a guy in my building. Him and I naturally started talking. He's in sales. I'm in sales. You jumped in and started talking. And we both left that conversation and said, man, that guy Mike, he's genuine. He was really cool. He had a lot to say. It wasn't much, you know, what are you cooking? That's the end of it. Yeah. It was, oh, you guys just moved here. Let me tell you about this place. And he immediately began to pour into us, as opposed to the guy that you meet at the bar that's just eating peanuts and talks about sports, right?
Okay.
So you can tell. I think it's, you know, it's almost a reading game. You can tell when someone's genuine. And to me, I grab a hold of those people. And so that's why maybe I'm 28 years into this.
That's a really cool answer. And it's consistent with everything else you said, which is even at first contact, I can tell if someone cares about me. They value me. Even if I'm a stranger,
right,
they value me beyond – they're not trying to get rid of me.
Right. Well, I can still value a conversation if it's not with my friend, right?
Yeah.
So if that kind of conversation, if it's genuine, I guess back to more so that two-way street, you know, they're pouring a little bit into me. I don't have to know the guy. I don't have to know the girl.
Yeah, but that's interesting with Mike. You bring up the Mike thing, you know. That's a funny story with Mike when I met that guy. And after that, for the audiences, I said, man, that guy is the mayor of the Battery. I said, remember I said that?
He goes, yeah, the mayor.
He was one of the first guys who moved into the Battery Apartments, which is where the Braves Stadium is. And he literally knew everybody in every apartment. And there's hundreds of apartments. He just made – that's just the kind of guy he was. So he was kind of fun to talk to. He, like, knew where all the Braves players were living there, you know, kind of a thing.
He knew everyone at the shops. He knew, you know, when and where to go do
it. But then what happens is, you know, you say, okay, so I had that conversation. He has his own life. He was married. He's still married. Mm-hmm. I know he's moved out since, but, yeah. And we'll get to that, but you were in the same space. You would right. see each other. Why did right. you decide to make it friend of, make be his friend and he be your friend? Because you've met a whole bunch of other people at the Battery that you're not friends with. What, I think how did you progress that? You see, how did that happen? Did he do it or did you do it?
I think it was twofold. You know, going back to the common interests, we would see each other at various spots. You know, Terrapin. He was a big fan of Terrapin and Fox Bros Barbecue.
Okay.
Huge fan of going to watch Tuesday night games down there on that outside television, right? So I would come across him a couple times. We're genuine in our conversations 3, 4, 5 times. And eventually that just transformed into what I would call a real friendship, right?
Did you invite him to go on Tuesday night, or can you catch up together on Tuesday night? Or did you just happen to just fall into each other's universe, you know, from time to time?
You know, I think the first few occasions we fell into each other's universe.
Okay.
And then on past that, it was, hey, same time next week.
Oh, I see.
You know, okay. Something that simple, right?
Yeah.
Catch you here next week, something like that. And then it, you know, it kind of transforms into, hey, this is just a, you know, an occurrence or a coincidence, uh-huh. right? To now I'm going out with my friends.
So now Mike left the Battery,
mm-hmm.
right? Did he uh-huh. leave the Battery? Was it, I don't know why he left. Did he leave because they were going to have a baby, or why did he leave?
They're buying a house.
They're buying a house. Okay. So no kids still, right?
Right.
Because kids complicate friendships, you know. So you're buying a house and, you know, marriage complicates friendships, and then kids really complicate friendships. You're going to see this sure. one coming, okay?
But okay.
If you haven't already. But so he's now bought this house, moved out of Battery. You stay in touch with Mike?
Very rarely. Very rarely.
What happened?
Mike's –
I'm from your end, I'm asking, not from his end, from your end.
He moved. No, what happened? You know, I think
he left me.
I think our common interests may be changing. And, you know, that's okay, right? It's where he is in life and where I am in life.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that if I saw him at Terrapin tomorrow, he still wouldn't be my friend. You know, I wouldn't go sit down and have a beer with him in a genuine conversation.
But he's not in your regular cadence anymore.
He's not in the circle anymore. You're exactly right.
So I like that. Circumstances changed
mm-hmm.
In our lives, because that makes a lot of sense to me. That makes a lot of sense to me.
You know, on your piece, families, houses, they do throw a curveball into that friendship. I've experienced it with a couple friends to date. Doesn't mean that they're still not my friends. I still pick up the phone and call them. I called them when we won the World Series. You know, I called them during the playoffs, right? I can't believe this is happening. But those conversations, they're not as expanded as they once were, right? He's got so much other going on.
Yeah. It makes sense. And that's what I'm saying is sometimes when people get married, okay, so here you got these two friends, somebody gets one of your friends gets married. Well, uh-huh. now the wife doesn't want her husband going out with the single guys.
Sure.
Which yep. makes total sense, right? So all of a sudden they start hanging out with married couples. So uh-huh. that guy now makes new friends, okay? And the old friends kind of get dropped. Okay. They're sure. around. I mean, if we see each other, we're still good friends, but we're not in the same orbit. Okay. Because my wife isn't great. She's not excited about it. Okay.
Right.
And then when you have kids, then you're moving into, you know, your lives revolve around the children. So now you're making friends with the people at the same school your kids go to. Like, this is how I met your dad. Right.
Now
I met you, right? That wouldn't have happened unless we were all at Whitfield at the time. So it's your kids that become the grist or the commonality for new friendships. But yet your college friends, they're not in the universe anymore. You know, it's just not the same way. It's just different. See,
that's hard for me, Charlie, because even this guy I'm talking about right now, he's married, he has a kid, okay? I still pick up the phone and call him. If I need him and he knows, I may call three times. But fine, you know, he's got to talk.
You're calling him, you say, because you need him, or you're calling him just because you wanted to say hi?
Just because I wanted to say hi every once in a while, you know?
That's what I thought.
But most of the time, it's something simple, right? Braves are in the playoffs. I got to call this buddy. Got to call him, see what's going on. Are you going to be at any of the games, this, that, and the other, right? We may not talk until – well, actually, I got an invite to his one-year-old's birthday party, so we may talk there, okay? But, yeah, no, it definitely changes things, but it's not going to change the way that I value that friendship. Just because we don't talk daily anymore?
Yeah, one of the things that struck me is – this happened a few weeks ago – is I wound off with a week off. I said, I am not going to engage – with this work stuff and the people I normally talk to and all that. And what happened to me after a couple of days is it really happened during prayer time, is like people started coming to mind. And because I didn't have a schedule, I picked up the phone and called them. And they were delighted to hear from me. Man, I hadn't heard from you in 2 years. You know, it's so good to hear from you. How you doing? We caught up. We spent 20 minutes on the phone. And it was like a reconnection, okay?
Right.
So it's this busy lives that also get in the way of all this, you know? So here you are now making how many calls a day?
50 minimum.
50 minimum, right, okay.
100 calls
a day.
Sure.
And you have clients now. Mm-hmm. So you've got, like you said, you're growing your client base in the newspapers and also in the universities and colleges.
Right.
Those people that you're talking to there, do you develop – are they just clients, or do you look to kind of to get into their lives a bit and become friends with them? How do you approach that?
It's always more fun to work with friends is what I'll say. Now, I haven't gone into a business with a friend per se outside of my father, but at the end of the day, he's my father, right? When I get a client, when I have somebody that values my product, they buy it. The first time they buy it because they saw the value in the product.
Yeah, but they value you too.
Yeah, they may have liked Jacob, but they're looking for the outcome that Jacob's going to give them, right? Yeah. But then I like to peel back that onion. I do like to work with friends. I want to know about Charlie's kids. It's more of a personal feel. And when it comes time to renew that contract, when it comes time to, hey, I need somebody to figure this out, let's call Jacob. You know, he hasn't done us wrong thus far.
But you don't feel bad about calling one of those clients then that you've gotten deeper into their lives a little bit, right? And ask them for a referral.
Absolutely.
Do you know, you got a Chattahoochee Tech. Do you know the guy at Gwinnett Tech? You know, do you know that? Oh, yeah, I know that guy. Well, I'll call Ed for you.
That's how I grow my business in most cases, right there, you know.
Well, here's something. I read this just last night. And, you know, what happens is when I'm preparing for something like a topic like friendship, you know, all of a sudden you start seeing things you didn't see before, right? Because they just fly off the page, you know.
Sure.
And one of the things I saw is it said there was this anthropologist guy named Robin Dunbar. And in 1992 – he put out something called Dunbar's Number, and he said the number of relationships we are cognitively able to manage and to which we can legitimately feel connected at any time is 150. You know, so anything beyond that, and it just becomes an acquaintance pool, right?
What year was this, Charlie?
1992, he put this study out. He's an anthropologist. So my question is how many, if you were to just guess, because I'm sure you didn't count, maybe you have counted. Like, it's easy to look on Facebook and say, oh, I got 2,000 friends, right? But how many people would you actually say are in those friend group circles? You know, the there's the tight, tight circle, then the next circle, and then the next circle. But you go out three circles, you're pretty much done with your friends. After that, it's acquaintances, okay?
Sure.
So how many would you guess are in yours?
See, I don't want to rule anybody out, Charlie.
No, the guy who's never met a stranger, how many people are your friends? Okay.
That's a tough question. You know, how many contacts do I have in my phone? How many people can I reach on a daily basis? You know, my tight circle per se, I've got 10 folks that I would say, okay, you know, hey, this right here is one of my best friends. Okay. And those are just folks that over time they've given a little, I've given a little, they may have given a lot, I may have given a lot. Outside of that, I probably call 100 people on a recurring basis. And you know, every single one of those I would consider my friend. They may not be my Nick Paparelli best friend, right? But I'm still going to call them, see what's going on in their life.
You think it's a little over 100 people then?
I'd say 120 folks is probably my max.
That's probably right. That 150
I'd hope.
Number. He's saying
I'd
you can't get past 150, so maybe what the other 30 is, or 40 in your case, is family. Because sure, you got to put them in there, right?
Right, right.
Because the question is how many people can I actually feel connected to at any time? That 150 is probably a good number. That was an interesting study I saw.
I like that. Now, keep in mind, I'm only 28 years old, Charlie, so hopefully I have a long, healthy life to live, and I can compound those 120 contacts that we're talking about. But
if they turned into 1,000, would you actually feel your legitimately feel connected to?
Sure, sure.
That's what makes it's a high qualifier.
Mm-hmm.
It
mm-hmm.
is.
I would say I wouldn't know until I get there. Is that fair?
And you know what? You're going to even try to get there. I know you will, because you love that.
But through that, you're telling me at 151, someone has to drop off.
No, it's at 151, they don't drop off, but it starts impacting the number of people you're really connected to, like really heart-to-heart connected to, that you just – it starts to get too broad. And so now you're talking to talk because you just got to stay in touch with these. It's the acquaintance thing. How do you go? When does it cross the line between friend and acquaintance?
Sure.
You see?
I get it.
Yeah. Yep. It's just, I think it kind of makes sense. One of the things I read, which I thought was great, was from one of these Christian sites when I was doing a little research on friendship and preparing for this. And it brought up a really great example. It said, let's face it, Jesus only had 12 friends. and this was great. And of the 12, he only had 3 really good friends, Peter, James, and John.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were the other 9 guys. They were his friends, but these were his dearest friends. And so you sit there and you say 12. And you made a comment, you go, well, it's probably about 10 people in that inner circle. So that's a good checkpoint, 10, 12 people. It can't be greater than that. Those are the really heart-to-heart, they pour into me, I pour into them kind of friends.
Right. Those are your Nick Paparelli friends right there.
Yes, really. Or in my case, it would have been, I'd say, my Reggie Campbell kind of friends. Or I got some guys now, I got Rusty Gordon, John Ritchie, and some others that are that way with – that I feel that way with.
That's your tight-knit circle. Those are the folks that you would move mountains for them if you could, right?
That's it. Well, I got that's all I have. I think we can close. I also – there was a proverb when I did this thing. So Proverbs 18:24 said – a man, this is something to live by. I thought this from this conversation. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother.
There's a lot of truth in that.
Well, those Proverbs are pretty good. They come from God. They're pretty good. Yeah. So you can sit there and you could be Mr. Facebook.
Sure.
And you could still come to ruin. But man, those 10, 12 people that are in that friend group, they will be your brothers and they will stick with you and you count on it.
And you see it all the time in this instant world that we live in, Charlie. Someone goes viral, right? And there's backlash on it per se. They can come to ruin like that.
Yeah.
I could say one thing on your podcast and come to ruin like that. But I think the parable is absolutely right. I'll have my 10 standing right there with me to help me back up on my feet and keep me going. So that's what friends are for. And that's why we keep them close, you know?
Well, let's end with that. Now, I've got a quote from you. I thought it was the greatest quote. I wrote it down. Is that question? You said tough question to answer. When to me, it's really easy. Didn't even know you said that. I thought it was great, but you did make a comment that I think that really defines friendship, which is we pour into each other.
Uh-huh.
We pour into each other, and that's what friendship is really all about. That's true love. That's what that is. So I'm going to say goodbye. I want to thank you for doing this. I know you're a little nervous, and I put you on the spot. I thank you for giving me blog material. That was fantastic. It helped a lot of people, and now I think a lot of people are going to listen to this, and they're going to love it. There's a lot here.
Good. Well, I hope so. And, you know, for anybody that may want more, feel free to reach out to me. I've always got my phone with me. All right.
All right. You'll be the first guy I publish the promo for. Put your phone number in it.
Do it. Go for it. Go right ahead.
All right. I'm going to sign off and then we'll say goodbye. Okay.
All right. Sounds
all
good.
Right. Thank you. Wow. How about that? That's a how to be a good friend. Pour into people and they'll pour into you. And even if they don't, trust that someday that they will, and you'll be really tight friends. And you'll be rich, rich with friends like Jacob Sutherland. Thanks for joining. Please sign up at paparelli.com. Until then, see you next time.